occupational therapists really passionately believe that participating in an occupation is really good for your health and well-being, and actually will improve your quality of life and your physical health. So it's something that we strongly advocate that residents are able to experience occupation and participate in occupation as much as possible. But it has to be occupations that are actually meaningful for them. The college has produced an online toolkit, which is a free resource, so that to give ideas and resources to members of staff and to residents and to their family, so that they can perhaps help give ideas about how to have meaningful occupation, things that mean things to the individual, available to them.
Could you give me examples of time well spent?
Right. I think one of the things we're saying is that it doesn't have to be, you don't have to have lots of time. So many people within care homes really have jobs to do, and they are really very busy. So we've given ideas for things if you've got 5 minutes or no time at all. So for example, if your job is to make the bed, you may be able to have the resident help you make the bed, or using conversation, if you know something about the individual, their background, you may know what their interests are. So it can be things like talking about things in their past, so that they're actually engaged in what they have to do.
So you don't have to sit and play a game of Monopoly with them. It's just natural interaction.
Natural interaction, but hopefully working on things that actually are meaningful for the person, because the person that you see in the care home has had a rich and fulfilling life. And if we know about that, then we can make sure that they can carry on doing things that are actually important to them. So it could be, if they're a keen gardener, making sure that there are plants, and if it's just watering the plants or deadheading, but something that actually is meaningful for that person.
There is a thin line, of course. You might have an elderly gentleman in there who's a great lover of cricket, and you could mention to him, oh, how did you think England did today? And he could turn and he could start talking through matches that he played years ago, and you know, you can't get away from him, and then you sound as if you're rude. How do you ride that one?
I think it's if you're if you have a connection with the person, you can actually say, this is something that we need to carry on another time, and you can talk about when you're going to come back, when you do have more time to actually do things. So I think it is a case of really connecting with the individuals and actually seeing what able you can do. You might find there's another resident who's also got a cricket enthusiasm, so you can perhaps bring those two people together. You might want to have cricket-related activities that are available to this person. So it's all about understanding the person, and not just seeing somebody your job is to empty the bins or make the bed or whatever, and making sure that they have those activities available.
And is there evidence here in Northern Ireland that staff are not going the extra mile?
I think it is something that all care homes have difficulty with, because there are so many jobs that they need to do, and the RQIA, which is the inspection body, looks at care homes and identifies where things could be improved. So one of the things that we are doing is that our toolkit has ideas for staff so they can benchmark, see where they are now, and actually how can they improve. And it's not a how-to manual, it's a resource. It gives them ideas, because the answers are within the care home themselves, and it's the culture within the care homes that needs to actually embrace this and say, what can we do to actually improve the quality of life for our residents?
What do you think of that story that was we were reporting on yesterday? Lots of people were talking about it in care homes, whereby the terminology is being questioned. If you call someone sweetie, give me that over, or listen, dear, I'll be more than happy to help you, or thanks a million, pet. That sort of terminology has been criticised by the Care Quality Commission. Mm. They feel that you have to always be politically correct. It's concerning, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I think it's more to do with respect and dignity. And actually, if you're able to connect with the residents, and if you understand what they would like to be called, and that's part of the conversation of getting to know somebody. So as well as getting to know their past history, and you can do that through talking to the relatives, how would the person like to be addressed? And it's actually making things fit the individual, because one person will want, someone may not like. So it's putting those, it's what's reasonable, putting it in place and actually finding out about the individual.
Yeah, you can't put a blanket ban on certain terms.
It's difficult. I think it's if you can work with the family, with the resident, you can work a way through that.
And every member of staff should be trying to motivate, to encourage people who are in care, the clients, the patients, the customers. There's another. What was the word you used for people who are in care? It was a better word than any one of my three. But the person who is being cared for should be motivated as much as possible by those who are paid to look after them.
I think so, and I think it's again, it's knowing the individual, knowing what ticks the box for that person. So, for example, there may be group activities, but actually somebody, not many of us spend our lives in groups, and actually some people may hate that thought of that. So it is making sure that there's a range of activities and a range of occupations that the person can get involved in that really suits that person.
There will be staff listening who'll be saying, we haven't time to even speak to them. I'm emptying the bin, I'm down the corridor, I'm emptying another bin, I have to get the dinners made, I'm run off my feet. Can their families not come in and manicure their nails or something and talk to them? You know, there will be frustration from staff listening.
Of course. And I think it's trying to think through in advance. So this is where the toolkit gives some really valuable ideas. So, for example, where you have the radio on and you're listening to the radio and a story comes up, actually making a comment on that story and getting the person involved, and there can be good conversations from things, and you don't need extra time for that because you can still do what you need to do while the radio's on and communicating.
Fair comment. Karen, it's a very good issue to raise, and I know you're making this toolkit available with some governmental support as well. Thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
It's on our website.
Okay,
College of OT.
Just remind us again of the website.
It's the www.cot.co.uk, and there's sections for family, for residents, for staff. So it comes from all different perspectives.
Okay, Karen Bishop from the College of Occupational Therapists.